Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. You never know what's going to happen. Praise God. Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Amen. No matter what, right? Praise God. You know, so many times we're going through things and sometimes we don't even realize we're going through them, right? I mean, there is a great transition going on right now in the move of the Spirit. And we have been warned, we've been chastened, we've been molded, and it continues. And we go from glory to glory, glory to glory. And we know that in Hosea 4:6, the word says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," which is one of our famous scriptures here. And we know that knowledge represents truth. And if there is knowledge that's not understood, then it's not truth. So the knowledge must be understood before it can be truth. And we see many people go to and fro. You know, they get tossed into the world and tossed back, you know, back and forth, or they teeter-totter and so forth. And God deals with us and each and every individual as an individual. He knows exactly what we're holding on to. He knows exactly what we've let go of. He knows exactly what awaits us. He knows exactly what hurts us. He knows exactly what brings us pleasure and joy. And one of the things that we seem to fall in categories of is expectations. And expectations, and there's two avenues of expectations. There's a good arena of an expectation, and then there's a bad arena of an expectation. And I want to share something very important. Your expectations are invitations. So everybody understand that. Our expectations are invitations. Your expectation is inviting either disaster, hello, or something good. Your expectation. Now, sometimes we get involved in a circumstance where we realize that what we were expecting was not quite where we wanted it to be. Or sometimes it's way above what we expected. And when there's an expectation, it's almost in an arena of, you know, when a woman is expecting, she's expecting something to happen. There's an expectation of a child to be birthed. But in that meantime, there is pain, there's, you know, there's hassle of carrying this child around sometimes, you know, I mean, it's like another body. Then there's a change, there's a concern of what to eat. In fact, sometimes expectations can change people's whole arena. When a woman is expecting, a wise woman, she's going to begin to change her diet. If she was a smoker, she usually quits. Amen? Also, if she was drinking and drugging, she usually stops. Unless she's a fool. So, you know, there are things that change our expectations. Even areas of circumstances in our life can change an expectation that we were either hoping for. And there are so many areas in expectations, because as your expectations bring invitations, they are invitations themselves. You're either going to invite something that's beneficial to you, or sometimes invite something that's harmful to you by a false expectation. Is everybody with me? Amen. Praise God. Go to James chapter 4. Simple teaching tonight. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Glory to God. Expectations are invitations. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you all read it with me, please? James chapter 4 and verse 1. Can everybody hear me? Okay. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" And, you know, expectations are associated with desires, aren't they? If you've got an expectation, there's a desire involved, isn't it? It could be a multitude of desires. It could be a desire for someone else. It could be a desire for some blessing for someone. It could be a selfish desire. It could be an ungodly desire. It can be a godly desire, can't it? So depending on that arena is your invitation. Your expectation is either going to invite something good for you or harmful to you. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not what? Ask. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your selfishness, on your pleasures, your expectations that fulfill your fleshly desires. Does everybody understand that? Okay. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, you know what? Have you ever hung around with, you know, I mean, even sometimes in our job places and whatever, some of the owners of the companies or bosses, their expectations are worldly. Many of them in the world. Amen? Amen? I mean, their whole purpose is to, for money. You know? There are some companies that when they, a foreman or whatever gets a job done, they get a bonus. I used to know a guy that was a contractor, and he used to work for a big company. And so when he would push his people, and his expectations were not about the concern of the people. They were concerned. He was more concerned about selfish expectation to get the job done, so that he could get the bonus, because they were used to get bonuses by saving the company money. If they could stop, you know, 4 or 5 months or 3 months ahead of time, and this guy used to get some good bonuses. So there are certain expectations that are a representation of selfish expectations, aren't there? Amen? Hallelujah. Now that is a friend of the world, isn't it? You'll notice that worldly expectations are totally different than your expectations and my expectations. Amen? Because one of our expectations, and you'll hear this in many other arenas, is our expectation, our desire, our hope is to bring glory to the name of the Lord and expand His kingdom in everything we do. Without those expectations, they're wrong. Now, there's a different category of expectation, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but let's go on. In verse 5, or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the what?
Humble.
In selfish expectations, there's always an association of pride. They shake hands, don't they? And those are called false expectations. Those are deceptive expectations. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, this is powerful. One of the things that happen is without submission to God, you can't resist the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So people with selfish expectations have a hard time submitting to authority. If you cannot submit to authority, you do not have authority. And the devil knows that. And he'll eat you up and spit you out. Everybody got it? That's what's part of submission, isn't it? If you can't submit to authority, you can't have authority. And the devil knows that. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Of course, we know that how much you submit to God is the measurement of how much you can resist the devil. Amen. Amen? So what the devil tries to do is put false expectations in to bring you disappointments, to bring you aggravation, to bring you all sorts of other things, to bring pride and puff it up, to water it, so that you cannot submit to what God is truly saying. Now, submitting to God is, yes, He puts us in authority, doesn't He? But you know what? You know who is your ultimate authority? Is the Lord. Amen? And who is the Lord? He's the Spirit, isn't He? Amen. So as you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, if you can't submit to Him, the devil knows it. And the devil will try to bring false expectations, so your submission is to self, trying to prove an expectation, fulfill a desire. Amen? And the devil knows it. He sees it. And he knows that you don't have authority then. Because if you can't submit to authority, you don't have authority. And he knows it. And he eats us up, man, with every kind of thing. He'll start shooting all kinds of stuff at you. Why? Because he sees you don't have authority. You know what happens when you don't submit? You walk on out of the protection of the Lord. Amen. He cannot protect someone that cannot submit. You're on your own. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Therefore, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee
from you. So expectations are invitations. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes expectations are something not obtained, but met. Has everybody got it? It's something met, not obtained. Something completed. In fact, expectations is a state of waiting, isn't it? While you're waiting on something, there's an expectation. You know, we should have a good expectation before service. I'm expecting God to do a great thing. That's different, isn't it? Is it bringing glory to an individual? No. Is it bringing glory to Him? Yes. I'm expecting God. That means that there's a hope, isn't it? Amen. Now, let me share something with you about expectation and faith and hope. Hope or faith is a representation of something present right now. Right now is faith manifesting. Hope is faith in the future. Does everybody got it? Expectation also can be a result of an assumption where you're expecting something, but in true reality, you're assuming something because it's not been told to you by the Spirit. Does everybody got it? That's why faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing who? Hearing, well, who's the Word of God? Amen. The Word. It's the voice of God, isn't it? Amen. So when people don't hear God because they're so caught up, you know how many times were you angry and frustrated and you can't hear God? Amen. People, you can't hear God in the flesh. The ears get all stuffy. Spiritual ears, man, they get all blinded. This cloud, dark cloud comes around you. And all these voices come in every direction. And it's not the helmet of salvation. It's a helmet of stupidity. Amen. We get real stupid, don't we? When we get in the flesh. And then we really get, after we're done with what we just did, it's like, oh man, how stupid I was. What a bonehead, what a fool I was. You know? And these are some of the results of false expectation, or even there are areas of soulish expectations. It's in a soulish arena of like things of uncertainty, grasping at the air. You know, those are just what we call foolish or soulish expectations. There are some people who are still expecting their ex-wives or ex-husbands who are married with 4 or 5 children to divorce. You know, they're expecting that because God said, because the Word says, but of course they take the Word out of context, or they said that they're waiting on God to restore their family. Well, the husband or the ex-husband or wife has been remarried with 4 or 5 children. You know, that's a dumb expectation, isn't it? And then you know what they do? They get involved in an arena where they're blaming God for not fulfilling His will or His Word. Now that is really foolish, isn't it? Those are wrong expectations. Some of these expectations, false expectations and wrong expectations, will and can invite hurt. Can't they? They can invite hurt, they can invite worry, they can invite fear, they can invite anger, they can invite bitterness, they can invite jealousy, they can invite demonic activity. Some of your expectations will either invite the presence of God or the presence of evil. Amen? But our hope is in the Lord, isn't it? And that's where it should be. If your hope, faith of the future, is in anything else, it's a wrong expectation. Is everybody with me? See, the devil is so sly, isn't he? He's so subtle. You know, every Friday, everybody's expecting, they're expecting, they have an expectation of a paycheck and a certain amount. Woo-hoo! If they miss... Whoa, wait a minute. Hey, man, I was expecting this amount. You shorted me. Man, do people get frustrated for not getting their cash? Amen. That's it. You know, I mean, But if your relationship really is there, your hope is not in what you're getting. Your hope is in Him. Your expectation is what He's already supplied for you. Does everybody understand that? Oh, praise God. What do we have to do? We have to resist the devil's false expectations, don't we? And submit to God. We have to resist the devil's false expectations and submit to God with hope and with faith. Amen? You know, one of the things is as we begin to go through some of these trials and tribulations, as the Word says, count it all joy. Count it all joy, ha ha ha. As we count it all joy, you know what he says, one of the things that happens is you begin to trust God more, He begins to trust you. So false expectations will not earn the trust of the Lord. But righteous and holy expectations will earn His trust, won't they? Amen. Because if you can't trust Him, He can't trust you. It's plain and simple, isn't it? Praise God. Go to Matthew 20. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. I almost said lawnmower again. As a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed, everybody say agreed.
Agreed.
He had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day. He sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing there in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will what? I'll give you. So they went. Again, he went about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing what? Idle, doing nothing. And said to them, why have you been standing here all day, idle? And they said to him, well, because no one hired us. He said to them, well, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed, say supposed, suppose. Say expected, hello, they expected that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Come on, how many of y'all felt that way? Those that didn't put your hand up, you can repent. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius, which was a day's wages? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil? Is your expectation evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are what?
Called.
But few are what? Oh, let me tell you, that will make the call or the chosen out of you. Has everybody got it? Well, you know, I've been here a long time, and I deserve. Lord, I've been praying daily for my healing. I've been praying daily for that spouse. I've been praying. I've seen such and such get this and such. Well, your expectations are on the wrong things. Is everybody with me? Come on, we need to sever this garbage. Wages is. They were more concerned about their performance or how much time they spent, weren't they? High expectations can bring big disappointments, can't they? Especially when they're not met. We must be able to go with the flow of the Spirit. Does everybody say that? Go with the flow of the Spirit. We must be able to go with the flow of the Spirit. Who knows better than me and you? Amen. So if He knows it, why do we argue with it? Why do we continue to accept these false expectations? Hey, there are things that, you know, when I see a lot of men come into a discipleship house, I see so much potential. I see so much potential in so many individuals, and it's like, man. And when they don't meet my expectations, I have to turn and give it to God. Does everybody understand that? When someone or something, especially when you might be working with someone, and they've said, yes, I can do this, I can do that, and they can't do it, and you had high expectations for that individual, right? And they couldn't do it, you can't be caught up in your expectations. You must be caught up in the Lord, in His hope, and remember what He's done for you. Because those expectations will bring you disappointments. It will open the door. You'll have low self-esteem. The devil will eat you up, beat you up, and throw you over. How many times have you been involved in relationships and you're expecting something from someone, either friends or companion relationships or whatever, and it didn't go your way? Well, you had high expectations, didn't you? You know, you need to thank God sometimes that He rescued you from those false expectations. Amen? You need to thank Him for rescuing you from those false expectations, because you don't know what was down the road. How many times did you have an expectation of a job? Yes, more money. You already planned on how much more money you were going to spend. And spent it. Amen? We've all made that mistake, didn't we? Amen? Do you ever go out? I went out and bought some equipment for a job we were supposed to do, and we didn't get it. I was like, oh, hallelujah. Well, my expectation is not in that job. My expectation is in the Lord. My hope is in Him. My faith is in Him. My trust is in Him. See, but the devil would like to beat us all up, wouldn't he? I just thanked Him for blessing me with a piece of equipment. Praise God, I know something's going to happen. Has everybody got it? Every time I went to the checkbook, I thought, oh man, and I hear their voice say, man, you know, you could have used that money. Yes, I could have. But my mistakes are His problems.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, I'm not taking that. My mistakes are His problems because I'm His son, He's my dad. Amen. I have a relationship where He knows I'm going to blow it every once in a while. Amen? But the whole thing is, don't justify it, because you'll just add another expectation. Hello? Oh, to God be the glory. Go to Matthew 22 while we're... Glory to God. Matthew 22. Starting at verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Why? Wrong expectations, false expectations, caught up in some other expectations. Again, He sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, in other words, the invitations went out, They got the invitations. They chose not to come. And he went out again, didn't he? Saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all these things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it, didn't they? Why? Wrong expectations, false expectations. And went their way, one to his what? Own farm, and another to his what? His own business. Where was his expectation on? On himself. Amen? False expectations. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Ooh. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now, let me tell you, they had wrong expectations. They didn't think there would be a recourse of what they did either, did they? They thought they were going to get away with what was what. Their expectations were, okay, no problem. We're going to go about our business. If they send another IRS man to my door or whatever it is, I'm just going to, let's just kill them. Let's get together. We don't want our expectations around what we're doing and not what the kingdom wants to do. Amen. And what did he do? He sent out his armies and killed and destroyed them and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not what? Worthy. Let me tell you, wrong expectations will bring what? Anybody share it? Bring destruction on oneself. It will show us that we're not worthy. Does everybody else understand that? See, because a friend of the world is what? An enemy of God. And who wants to bring you these false expectations? Amen. The devil. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Oh, he thought his expectation was, I'm going to just slide in there. Nothing. I won't be seen. I'm all right. I'm okay. Yeah. I did what I was supposed to do today. I'm all right. Fruits stink, but I'm okay. So he said to him, friend, didn't call him son. He said, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He got right caught up in the butt ministry, you know that. Bada, 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 bada. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him in the outer court, outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. Again, wrong expectations will move us right out of position. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Worldly expectations. Philippians 4. Oh, hallelujah. Expectations are invitations. Philippians 4 and verse 6, read it with me, please. What does it say? Be anxious for nothing. Now, let me ask you this. Is that an expectation? You got that right. Anxiety, what an expectation and a half. It's over-expected. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiety is false expectations or something even unreal. You know, some people have expectations that are not even tangible. They're not even real. They're not even from God. You know? Yes, of course they go by the scripture, well, all things are possible with God. Yes, well, all things are possible with God who believe. Amen. Those who believe, the word believe means to follow. You know? Hey, all things are possible with God. Amen? But there are things that are out of reach of reality. You know? There are some people, I remember this one guy when we were sharing with him all, God answers prayer, and then he goes, yeah, he goes, I mean, this guy, you know, just come off the streets and whatever, and he said, well, you mean if I asked God for a red Corvette today, I could get it? I thought that was an unreal expectation. Not that God couldn't do it, but in his circumstance, he'd probably go trade it into the dope dealer, you know? So I can't imagine God giving this dude a red Corvette. So that was a false expectation, wasn't it? Amen? How many people are, they're asking God to heal them, right? Now, here's a person that's asking God to deliver them and crying out, Lord, deliver me from this alcoholism while he's in the bar. That's a false expectation. Amen? Deliver me. Lord, heal me from this disease. Why, the person is feeding the disease by what they eat. That's a false expectation, isn't it? Lord, get rid of the spirit of nicotine. Lay down the cigarette, man. That's a false expectation, isn't it? Amen? And then what happens, false expectations bring hurts, don't they? They bring hurts. Why do they bring hurts? Because there's an expectation that is not from God that the devil has imparted in us that cannot be fulfilled. And then the devil turns around and gets us to blame God. Amen? Oh, praise be to God. Is everybody all right? Psalm 62. Claudius. You know what the devil likes to do? Once he gives you a false expectation and he begins to water it and it becomes a high expectation and it's not met, then he puts another expectation right next to it and says, go to this one then. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Well, if that didn't work, then I have another expectation. You know, it's like some people call it plan A and plan B, and both of them are incorrect. Two false expectations. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all got it. Psalm 62 and verse something. Let's see. Verse 4. No, hold on. I got to get to Psalm 62 first. Thank you. Psalm 62 and verse 5. Praise be to God. Would you read it with me? My soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him, or my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at what? Oh, hallelujah. You know, you can't trust in God when it's just tangible. Do you understand? You must trust in Him when it's so outreached. When it just looks like there's just no way. You can't give yourself false expectations. Your hope must be in Him. You can't try to figure it out, conjure it out, manipulate it out. Your hope must be in Him. There's something that when people ask me about something and I share with them, I don't know, but I will. If they ask me something that I don't know, but I will. I might not have the answer now, but I will. Now, if I try to conjure up an answer of a false expectation, it's going to bring hurt, isn't it? And so many times people are trying to please in the soul, which brings hurt, instead of waiting on the voice of God. Verse 8 again. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. You know how many times people pick up burdens they have no right to? Those are false expectations, you know that? A burden is an expectation that you think you can fix when you have no right doing it. Come on, and what does it do? It brings hurt because you can't fix it. And it also brings an open door. Expectations. False expectations. Go to Acts 3. Expectations are what? Invitations. Hallelujah. You know, what it is also is when it also expresses the area to where when these expectations are not met and we get caught up in the flesh, then we're not trusting God. Amen? We're going in our own strength, and blesses in is the person who trusts God and curses the person who trusts man. In other words, our trust is not on, not even us. You know, you can't even trust you. Your eyes must be on Him. Everything must be on Him. Your hope must be totally in Him. No matter what your circumstances should not move you. But you don't know what happened to me. You know what was just said. You know what usually circumstances do? It brings someone false expectations. And what has to happen is we've got to lay everything down and grab hold of God and put our hope in Him that He will make the way, that He will deliver. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He delivers us out of what? All of them. Every single one. You know that you've been delivered out of every one of your afflictions? Some of them you still want.
Yes.
Hello? Come on, some of these afflictions you still want. Because you think it's good for you. But God calls it an affliction. He calls it a false expectation. And He wants to remove it from us. How many of us have had dreams and hopes? You know, and all of a sudden we realize that they weren't true. Well, I thought I was going to do this, and I was going to go to college and become a doctor. And instead, we became Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? The wrong doctor. I used to be called doctor, but it certainly wasn't the right doctor. It was the wrong doctor. And I went through the wrong college for that, you know. But hallelujah, God brought me to the right one. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Oh yeah, Acts chapter 3. I want to get out of there quick. Starting at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Now this man was laid there daily. He asked alms every day. He was expecting to get his cup filled. He was faithful to be there daily, wasn't he? He was in position, wasn't he? He stayed there. Daily, he was there. Doesn't say anything about him grumbling, complaining, or anything. He was willing to accept whatever came his way. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms? He asked for alms, didn't he? And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention. expecting to receive something from them, like some cash. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Oh, let me share something with you. When God places you in position, and you stand there, and you're faithful to do what He's asked you to do, He's going to meet you and bless you with something that you weren't even expecting. Do you know why? So many times we try to bless ourselves instead of wait for the blesser to bless us. This man's expectation wasn't even, it couldn't go beyond. His highest expectation was to go there and get some money until the presence of the Lord showed up in Peter and John. And an expectation was met that that man could never dream of. He never thought he could get up and walk. Does everybody understand that? There was an expectation far above all he could ever ask or think. And he got up and walked. He no longer became a beggar, did he? No. He became a laborer for the kingdom of God. Oh, to God be the glory. I love it. And he took him up by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that he was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that's what God wants us to be, is a sign and wonder and an amazement to other people. But you can't be that in the flesh. If you are running on false expectations, wrong expectations, selfish expectations, you will not be a sign and wonder of the Lord. You may be a sign and wonder to yourself. Man, how did I get back in this again? That's going to be a sign and a wonder to yourself. Man, where did I go wrong? Oh, no. But there's another sign and wonder we want to be, and that's from God Almighty. Amen? So stay in position. It's an expectation of surprise from the Father. He loves to surprise His children. In Romans chapter 8. Is everybody all right? Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. In verse 22. Ooh. I think so. Now let's go. Let's start at verse 18. Everybody there? Romans 8:18. Let's read it together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Let me share this with you. Do you know that creation is waiting for guidance? Hello? From who? The sons of God. You know, when God created everything, who did He put in authority? Man. But then He put Adam? Then Adam lost it, didn't he? He said, man, be fruitful, be multiply. The sea is under your authority. The airs are under, everything's under your authority, Adam. Do it. Have a good time. I'm with you. We'll talk. But don't eat that tree. Don't eat that from that tree. That's the only thing I'm asking you. Don't eat from that tree. Well, hallelujah. We know what happened, right? So since then, all creation has been brought under the authority of darkness. And it's eagerly waiting for me and you to guide them. Amen. Authority is, I mean, creation is growing for the return of the sons of God. What a wonderful expectation. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, future faith. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the what? Children of God. You know you have authority over creation? Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is hope that is seen is not hope. Ah. Hope that is seen is not hope. Say that with me. Hope that is seen, that ain't hope. You know what? People have a lot of expectations of what they see. Because if it's seen, it's not hope. If it's not seen, it is hope. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? False expectations. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance means you got to fight. It means you got to fight. What do you got to fight? You got to fight these false expectations. You got to fight these lies from the voice of the stranger. You got to fight from coming out of the fighting coming out of the world. You got to fight from preventing to go into the world. You've got to fight. You've got to fight for the presence of God. You've got to fight. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 28. Many people's good expectations are shattered because they've turned and gone in wrong places. Proverbs 28. And the word says, reap what you sow, right? Praise God. So as we're reaping what we have sowed, if your expectations are in the wrong places, you will be shattered. There will be hurt. Amen? Because if you're hoping or your expectations are in something of what you're going to do that's going to rescue you, then they're in the wrong place. Only He can do it. Every one of us has come to a place where only God can rescue us. Only God can do it. And then after He does it the one time, we have a tendency to help God. That's false expectations. Amen? We must stay in that place where our hope is constantly, constantly, constantly in Him. Hope of faith of future and faith of present. Constantly in Him. Why? Because He knows what's best for us. Where did I say to go? Thank you. Proverbs 28. Some of these are outcomes of false expectations. Proverbs 28 and verses 25 and 26. Would you read it with me? He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be what? Prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a what?
Fool.
But whoever walks wisely will be what?
Delivered.
Praise God. Go to 29. Go to verse 11. Read it with me. A fool vents all of his what? his feelings. But a wise man holds them back. What kind of feelings? Soulish, grumbling, complaining, false expectations of expressions. Well, man, if I would have done, you don't... Don't let the devil bring you back either. You can't change yesterday. You got to keep going forward. If you're trying to change yesterday and fix, you know, false expectation, you're in the flesh, and it won't get fixed anyways. It'll just pile up, pile up, pile up, and it'll fall on you. Amen? You've got to stay in the place where your hope is totally in Him. Not just by words, but by deeds. Colossians 3. Oh, to God be the glory. And everybody's pretty quiet tonight. Everybody all right? Would you read 1 through 11 with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind or your expectation on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in what? In glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Oh, to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. And verses 1 through, oh, I don't know, 4. Verses 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? Chapter 2. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. But the just shall live by his faith. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. False expectations will alter your attitude, motive, goals, purpose, future. They will alter your attitude, motives, goals, and purpose, and your future. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody there? Everybody all right? Getting it? Hallelujah. You can get rid of those false expectations tonight and have discernment for the next false expectation that comes. In verse 6. Verse 12. Hold on. Let's start at 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all evil. All kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, when we were on drugs and alcohol and all kinds of stuff, we would go through great lengths to have money. Amen. To feed our desire. Our false expectation. and it was a root of all kinds of evil, wasn't it? I mean, think about all the things that we did to get money. Man, we did all kinds of things that were evil. Right? But you, O man, woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Everyone read this with me. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, right now you are involved with many witnesses out there. Many people see you. Your expectations, your actions are affecting others of whether coming into the kingdom or pushing them away. Yes. False expectations will alter your motives and your attitudes. They'll alter many things in your life and even your future. That's why the devil's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is what? Fear. How are they, you know, think about how some of these things are imparted by what? False expectations, aren't they? The best thing to have is no expectation except for what God wants. Now, I do expect God, right? I expect God to fulfill His will. Amen? Now, is that a good expectation? Yes, because where are my thoughts? And the things above, aren't they? I expect my Father to fulfill His word. When? That's up to Him. Has everybody got it? I cannot say, okay, you've got to do it right now. Because even when Jesus prayed for people, it said in that hour, they got healed. Amen? So you never know what's what. You can ask for it. If it happens, praise God. If it doesn't, praise God. But He will fulfill His will. There are people that I've prayed for that died. He fulfilled His will. They're healed. what a wonderful way to start a healing ministry. You know, I used to go around and I was in a healing ministry where people with signs and wonders were manifesting. And I was going around with the assistant head pastor. And that's how I started learning about praying for people. Well, man, I think he just, you know, I don't know. I would pray for people and they would die. I thought, man, this is crazy. Until the one got healed and another got healed and things began to happen. It's like, praise God. But you know, we got to let God be God, right? But as a young baby in Christ who was taken to hospitals and said, pray for these people, that my expectations were high to get healed. You know, that kind of beat me up sometimes. But then after a while, it became a joke. You know, because then the pastor would say, let God pray for you, you'll get healed. You either get healed now or you'll get healed later. But then people started getting healed and things changed. But praise God, it didn't stop me from going. Do you understand that? I had to endure. Praise God. Yeah, I die daily, man, let me tell you. Come on, guy, let's go pray for someone. No, not me, don't take me, please. Hallelujah. The Lord used to tell me sometimes before I would go to morning prayer, you're going to go pray today. I'm like, oh. Till one person got healed of a brain tumor. Three brain tumors in his head. And God healed him. Man, did I jump for joy. I didn't feel nothing either. I just prayed and God healed him. And then one time I prayed for someone where the power of God went right through my head, right through my body and hit this dude and hit him where he almost flew up in the air. And I thought I was going to put a dent in the top of my car. And God healed him from heroin addiction. And he rolled up his sleeves and he said, I didn't know he loved me. And one thing after another, people get healed a little here and a little there and whatever. And it's, you know, no, you just go for it, man. What's my expectation? Him. Amen. Him. People walk into a service one time. Some woman walked into a service paralyzed. An older woman. And God healed her. She threw that cane and ran around the church and everybody went nuts, including me, number one. Hallelujah. Yes, he still heals. He still delivers. But your hope must be in him. Amen. Look to the healer, not the healing. Amen. Look to the deliverer, not the deliverance. Look to the freedom. And you'll get freedom. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians chapter. Did we read this already? Where are we? Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. Don't give up. Get rid of those false expectations, though. Grab hold of His presence and let Him carry you where you need to go. He's faithful. He is faithful to complete what he started. The whole thing is you got to give him a break to reveal himself. You got to give him a break to reveal himself. How do you think miracles and signs and wonders manifest? Not on our time, on his. You know, he always rescues us when right when we're hanging off the cliff. Sometimes when we're already off. Hallelujah. In verse 14, would you read it with me and we'll close here. For this reason, is everybody there? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Hallelujah. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, hold on to that scripture. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He will. We just have to allow Him to show Himself. Amen? Amen? So let's get rid of the garbage expectations. The high expectations. The low expectations. And the no expectations. And let's put our hope and trust in Him. In every area. Whatever you're holding on to, give it to Him. If your hands are empty, grab hold of Him. And don't let go. He will bring you through all the way to the end. Amen? Let's not try and bless ourselves, but let's wait for the blessing. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We honor You and we bless You. And Lord, we repent for false expectations, selfish expectations. Lord, we repent for associating with all powers of darkness in the presence of darkness. Lord, we repent for not trusting You. Lord, have mercy upon us. And remove those seeds, those corruptible seeds, and those ungodly expectations, that our expectation will be in Your presence, on Your word, in Your glory, and totally on You. Now, Lord, heal Your people tonight. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands. Shut your eyes. Whew. I thank You, Lord. I thank You so much. Free them tonight that are bound by the spirit of bondage associated with false expectations. Let Your anointing break every yoke of bondage. Break that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I come against every infirmity and sickness and disease and every label put over everyone that either the devil and the powers of darkness have put on them or that man's put on them. And I break those labels in the name of Jesus. For we are new creations in Christ and old things have passed away. Right now, we are made new. All sickness, all fear, all disease, all infirmity, all bondage must go. We separate ourselves from them right now and we accept and receive the freedom of the Spirit, because by His stripes we're healed and truth sets us free. Now, Lord, I thank You for confirming Your word. I thank You. I thank You. Let Your people know Your freedom of worry, of fear, of doubt and unbelief. Jesus, impart in Your people tonight great faith. Impart in Your people tonight great trust. Impart in Your people tonight total surrender to You. And may all the glory and all the honor and all the praise be unto You, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.